This program was first broadcast on Canterbury's community access radio station Plains FM 96.9 and was made with the assistance of New Zealand On Air.
Next on Plains FM, it's Health and Safety Made Simple with host Matt Jones on Health and Safety Unplugged.
Welcome to the Health and Safety Unplugged show, coming to you every first Thursday of each month at 10 a.m. here on Plains FM 96.9. My name is Matt Jones, and during the next half hour, I'll be bringing you insights into what great health and safety looks like in practice and hopefully dispel some of those myths that continue to plague our practice. Health and Safety Unplugged is brought to you by our sponsors, Advanced Safety, keeping health and safety simple, the locally owned and operated health and safety consultancy with a nationwide presence. In the first half of this episode, we shall be answering some of your health and safety questions, which have been posted on the Health and Safety Unplugged Facebook page. And in the second half, we shall hear how the Health and Safety Professionals of New Zealand Conference, which took place on the 16th of October here in Christchurch, went. So sit back, turn up your stereo, and prepare yourselves for some invaluable insight and some fantastic music. As the show evolves, people have begun to reach out with their health and safety-related questions. We set up a Facebook group called the Health and Safety Unplugged group, which you can find in a simple search. And people have started to put up some of those pain points and issues that they've found in their workplace in everyday life. And so during the first half of this show, I will attempt to answer some of those questions. The first question is from Jane Horn of Plain and Simple, and she asks, "What do I do if I'm working as a contractor on a residential property and the residents won't move out and are causing health and safety issues? Who's responsible? Am I liable? And although I'm not high up in the company, do I have the right to stop work?" There's a whole bunch of different questions within that question, Jane. Thanks for the question in the first place. Now, I'm actually fortunate enough to know Jane, and I know that she works within the construction industry, particularly within the residential field. And so I know from experience working in the residential earthquake repair program back in the day that this was an ongoing issue for many, many contractors, where the homeowners would often stay in the property during the repair process. And for lots of companies, they struggled when the residents remained in the property and were actually in the property during work hours. And so what a lot of our clients used to do is they'd navigate that issue by giving the homeowners a document and reading through it and explaining to them that during the work process, their home of residence became a place of work and was actually legally considered a place of work. And so as a result, everyone had to agree on some of the standards and some of the practices that would be expected of them, basically staying out of some of the hazardous areas, remaining out of particular rooms where work was being done, sticking to some of the basic health and safety good practices, wearing fully covered, fully toed shoes, ensuring that kids below the age of 16 weren't on the property by themselves. By making sure that the standards and expectations were spelt out in a document, which all parties had read, talked about, and agreed to, and signed off, then at the very least there's a standard that everyone has agreed to, so that if anyone does begin to bend the rules or corners are being cut, that they could be held to account and they could be reminded, look, we talked about this, we've agreed to it, we even signed off on this, can we now just come back to it? Now, I remember a time where I walked onto a property where the kids of the residents were there. They were there during school time, actually, during a weekday. They were early teens. There were several of them, but they were all there in barefoot and in an environment that was less than ideal. It was a kitchen that had its ceiling stripped out. There were electricians doing light fittings. There was rough timber and nails and loose materials all over the floor. And so it didn't take much to imagine what could potentially happen there. We talked about it. We came to a point where the work was stopped until the kids grabbed all their bits and pieces and left the property, where work was then allowed to continue. Now, as a worker, and Jane's asked this question, do I have the right to say no? Every worker in New Zealand has the right to say no and to refuse work if they feel that they are putting themselves or others at risk of harm or injury. So that's a basic human right. It's also a legal right, and it's something important to remember. But above all, if in doubt, you need to talk about it with your employer and with those in charge of the place of work. At the end of the day, the more we talk about it, the more we can find solutions. And as Jane asks, if something did happen, would I be to blame and would I get into trouble? So long as you have raised your concerns with the various parties involved in that particular job or in that particular home environment, and it's been discussed, and if you're not getting anywhere, you have raised it with your employer, and you still don't feel like you're getting anywhere, then if something was to go wrong, the employer would be liable and not you, okay? So this is the importance of being fully engaged, being prepared to have those difficult conversations, knowing who is responsible for what, and also giving your employer every opportunity to make the situation better is super, super important, particularly when things go wrong. With the Act, which was put into place in April 2015, and was enacted in 2016, we've only really had a few years with this Act being in place. We don't have a lot of benchmark case law to base a lot of these points on, but ultimately what the Act is asking us to do is to engage and to communicate with all parties involved in a shared project. Okay, the second question is from a young chap called Benji Sinclair. Thank you for your question, Benji. And he's asked, as a student, how would you recommend gaining initial experience in entering the health and safety workforce? Interestingly enough, Benji, I've actually been approached by several individuals who are really super keen to get involved in health and safety. And what the common theme is that they are all struggling to get their foot through the door when it comes to finding work experience. There are a number of training providers out there now who are providing various undergraduate and postgraduate certificates and health and safety courses. There's also international courses and certificates. The one that springs to mind is a NEBOSH, International Health and Safety Standard, and which is all well and good. But the problem is that without experience, many businesses at the moment don't really want to know. And so there are internship programs out there, which I'd recommend you start checking out. So what I did early this morning to help you with this quest, Benji, is to just did a quick Google search on health and safety internship programs New Zealand. And I can tell you that in recent times, the Department of Corrections have just completed this year's round. They provided 23 full-time summer positions as interns within their department and other government departments. And Sanitarium is currently running a health and well-being internship. So anyone out there that's got an interest in the health and well-being side of health and safety, Sanitarium has an opportunity there. So definitely jump on Google, do your basic search, and I'm sure you'll start to find some solutions to that. Because I've been approached by so many people in recent times, and being the Director of Advanced Safety, it's given me the opportunity to start to, at the very early stages of developing an internship program for 2019. I've been working closely with our institute. I've been volunteering my time to train and develop their students who are undertaking an undergraduate health and safety course. And between that and other groups that I've been in talks with in recent times, I believe that Advanced Safety will soon be in a position to start helping people like you, Benji, getting some on-the-ground experience within construction sites, within civil engineering environments, and also within the clerical environments also. So just watch this space. We are really, really super interested to help those that are up and coming and coming through the ranks into the world of health and safety. Okay, so changing things up for now, we're going to kick into our first song of the show. Now, before I tell you a little bit more about that, if you do have any of those burning questions when it comes to health and safety, the best place to jump on would be the Health and Safety Unplugged Facebook group page. Chuck in your questions, and I'll do my best to answer them in future shows. So, the first song, taken from their second studio album, Goodbye Country, Hello Nightclub, Super Styling by Groove Armada, has been on my playlist since the early 2000s. I watched these guys perform this song when they were touring their album release in Cardiff in Wales, and it was one of those unforgettable nights. So, without further ado, enjoy Super Styling by Groove Armada.
Enter in the dance, plug it in and we begin. Crowd up in the center, they watch me with him. Watch the way we drop it in a mix time it. Rise and amplify it when we come in with the swing. Just follow in the back and naturally harmonize it. Climb into position, we synchronized it. Live from outer ghetto, we maximize it. Sound of the groove, I'm under, we super styling. We super styling. Watch the way we drop it in a mix time it. Rise and amplify it when we come in with the swing. Just follow in the back and naturally harmonize it. Climb into position, we synchronize it. Live from outer ghetto, we maximize it. Sound of the groove, I'm under, we super styling.
Welcome back to Health and Safety Unplugged, coming to you every first Thursday of each month at 10 a.m. here on Plains FM 96.9. Now, you just had the pleasure of listening to Super Styling by the mighty Groove Armada, one of my super all-time favorite tracks. I hope you enjoyed it. So in the first section of this show, we addressed some of the questions that some of our listeners have put on the Health and Safety Unplugged Facebook page. As I said before, if you have any questions or thoughts, or if you even want to suggest some songs for future shows, jump onto the Facebook group and let us know. Now, in this second section of our show today, I really wanted to reflect on the Health and Safety Professionals of New Zealand conference, which took place here in Christchurch on the 16th of October. It was a full-day conference with a follow-up half-day workshop the following day. It was put on by volunteers. We basically bust the gut. We started the whole process a year beforehand where we had sent out a survey to the Health and Safety Professionals of New Zealand group members, which started life on LinkedIn as a professional group, and then morphed also into a Facebook group. Now, in late 2017, we sent out a survey to some 200 members at that point and asked them, what would you like to see happen with this group? Up until then, it had all been based on social media and it had generated a lot of interesting conversations. I'd also been holding local group coffee group meetings around the country as I travel with my job. And it felt like momentum was really starting to build, and the survey definitely backed that up. The results were loud and clear that people wanted a conference with a difference. Many of us attend conferences, and over time you start to realize that many of them follow the same formula of turning up, listening to speakers. Often it's death by PowerPoint. Often it's facts, figures, and there's not a lot of time for collaborating or engaging with the audience. Let alone being able to share your pain points and find solutions among your peers. So the feedback we got from the survey was really, really interesting and gave us a lot of ammunition to really kind of do something fundamentally different. And so at the Chateau on the Park here in Christchurch, we had some 130 delegates arrive on the day, very excited, full of energy from the get-go, where we had people up out of their seats and engaging and introducing themselves and finding new friends on the day. And the tone of the event from the very beginning was high energy, super conversational, and really a space where people would step up and fill in gaps wherever there were ones. Because let's face it, we're not professional event organizers by any stretch of the imagination, but the day flowed and it was a super, super successful day. So in the morning, we had international keynote speakers, Deanne Bowles, Brent Pelling, and Tim Allred had come over from Australia to tell us about neuroscience of safety, the latest software developments from safety culture, which is a real benchmark tool for many of us health and safety professionals out there. And then Tim Allred brought in some incredible discussion points. And for those listening that attended the conference, you'll know what I mean about not being a donut. Tim brought to us the description of the dangers of acting like a donut in a social environment where you get groups of people that naturally gravitate to one another and make the mistake of forming a circle and having their backs to the people around them, where really we should be aiming to be in the shape of a croissant, where we still have a space or an opening for those who are still a little bit unsure, not really sure who to speak to. There's an opening and a space to allow them in. A really interesting talk by Tim, which I know inspired many really awesome conversations as the day went on. We also heard from Mark Kidd, who is a director of Safe365, which I would argue is completely and utterly challenging the traditional means of a health and safety consultant. Much like the days when Xero and Mind Your Own Business came along and really challenged the structures of finance and accountancies, I think Safe365 is doing very much the same for our industry, and he brought to the table some really interesting stats and figures, which I no doubt will be very valuable for the audience. And then in the afternoon, we broke the audience down into smaller groups, and we invited them to try things like using diggers, playing with scissor lifts, how to effectively erect a mobile scaffold, how to manage and triage people that are displaying stress and anxiety within the workplace, how to deal with suspected drug or alcohol-related issues in the workplace. These were all really tangible, hands-on experiences that people could then take that new gained experience and take it directly to the workplace the very next day. All of this was generated purely from the response that we'd got from our members 12 months previous. And the results and the response from this conference has just been overwhelming. It's been 2 weeks, or just over 2 weeks now, and my feet haven't hit the ground still. I'm still fielding a lot of emails and a lot of phone calls from people that attended and from people that wish they'd attended and want to know where we're headed next. So we're now doing the same again. We're putting surveys out to those that attended the conference. We've had well over 30% of those conference attendees send back their survey results, and their survey was only sent out 48 hours ago. So the response to that's been amazing, and then we'll also be sending out a further survey to the wider membership in the next couple of weeks to find out exactly where to next. I really feel that the group has got a lot of momentum now. There's a sense that people want to see things happen in their local provinces. Why not? You know, why not have smaller public events within the other regions? Really, with the sole intention is to inspire and to provide a new lease of energy into an industry that has largely been plagued with the stereotype of the clipboards and the high-vis vests and the checklists and the you must not do this kind of mentality when it comes to health and safety. The Act, the regulations, the international standards, they're all pointing towards the same thing. If you want to succeed in health and safety, and if you want your workplace to be super, achieve great things from a health and safety point of view, what you really need to do is focus in on engagement and leadership. That's it. It's really as simple as that. And the best way to do that is to hone in on your skills around engagement. What makes a really successful team talk? Is it when you turn up and tell people what's what and then leave? Or is it, well, look, we think we've got a few issues in these areas. What have you guys experienced in this particular area? What works for you and what doesn't? That type of approach suddenly opens up the door to a source of information from your team, basically from the people that are living through those risks and those experiences day in, day out. By doing that, you're putting the influence and you're giving your staff and your people the motivation to actually start to step up and to stand on their own two feet, which can only be a good thing. The other part to it is the effective leadership. What that means is, as business owners and managers, is what do you do once you receive that information? Do you just simply turn a blind eye and carry on? Or do you take that feedback and then start to look for ways in which to provide solutions? Taking the feedback from your staff, I would imagine most of the solutions are actually already there, and you just simply need to listen to them and to engage and work with them. Really, the best place to start with health and safety is to check out the WorkSafeNZ website, have a look through the material that they've got there, and if still unsure, is to find a friendly health and safety consultant, okay? And there's plenty of us out there. I would just make sure that you look for your quality checks. Make sure that they're a member of a health and safety institute. Perhaps look to see if they are a member of the HAZANS register. This is a brand new register that records and acknowledges those health and safety professionals that have gone through a series of checks and balances. There's only 100 of us on that register currently. I'm proud to say that I'm one of them. And that should give you some sense of receiving and engaging a quality health and safety consultant. But ultimately, and as always it has been, is the answers are within your workplace. I'm a big believer of that. As soon as you start to open up the channels of engagement with your workers, and as soon as you, as business owners and managers, become strong enough and confident enough within yourselves to act on that information and to make those difficult decisions, then suddenly things really start to crank. And it's not just health and safety. This can be within the financial side of the business or the quality side of the business, whatever it is you guys do out there. Starting to engage, have those conversations with your people can only lead to better results. So anyway, that's my take on health and safety in the state of play today. My thoughts on the conference are basically keep an eye out on social media, LinkedIn, Facebook, Instagram, YouTube. Advanced Safety and the Health and Safety Professionals of New Zealand will be pumping out a ton of footage and material from the conference. We'll also be dedicating a web page specifically to it. So if you unfortunately couldn't make it to the event or only just heard about it recently, the web page will have the slides from all of the presentations, the video footage from all of those presentations, and the afternoon workshops. We'll also provide the transcripts from all the presentations too. We really want to get as much information and valuable content out there as possible. So just continue to watch the Facebook feeds, keep an eye on those LinkedIn and YouTube pages, and you'll have access to some of the most cutting edge, up-to-date health and safety information available. So anyway, to our next song for this show. Now, just like I was talking before about engagement and collaboration, these guys are all about that. This next song is called Clav Dub by a New Zealand group called Rhombus. Now, this particular song was a result of a huge collaboration of various New Zealand performers, including Tiki Tane from Salmonella Dub, the team from Trinity Roots, and Fat Freddy's Drop, the Wellington-based band who are basically one of the most talented outfits still going strong. And I absolutely love them, and I'm really looking forward to you enjoying the songs. This is Clav Dub by Rhombus.
We are asymmetrical, smashing through all stereotypes, bashing all archetypes. This is the new sound, the fresh sound of the Rhombus.
We are the people of the capital sound. We're moving with your body cause we express our minds now. Prowess and profits of a lyrical tone. The people have a flow.
Listen. And I'm a man, man, chicken the jacket, what? And I'm a man, man, diggity bang, 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 bang.
Welcome back to Health and Safety Unplugged here on Plains FM 96.9. Now, you just listened to Clav Dub by the mighty Rhombus, one of my super favourite tracks. If you guys have got any ideas about the songs that you'd like to hear or some of the points you'd like to have raised on this show, the best place to jump on board is the Facebook Health and Safety Unplugged group. You can find that by doing a simple search on Facebook. And as mentioned, we'll be back every first Thursday of the month here on Plains FM 96.9. So until next time, we'll see you later.
Ready for the reserve flow, peek in my channel. Come again with the gotcha, this is all I know. But you believe it is, me ready to explode. Freestyle, wicked vibes, three MCs come and rock with we. Wellington represent, from the jungle I've been sent to get bent. Yeah, outdoor styles, wicked and wild.